So how's everybody this morning? Everybody's doing all right? Boy, y'all looking really good. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, you look good today. I don't know about yesterday, but you look good today. It's going to be a great day. We're excited to have some families and friends here as we are going to have our child dedications this morning. Just to let parents know, those child dedications are going to happen towards the end of service after the sermon time. And so give yourself ample time to go and get your child from Emerge Kids or Emerge Babies if you need to. And just to give you a little instruction, what we'll do is we're going to invite the mom and dad and the child up here to the front. We'll stand right here at the bottom, and I'll come down and join you, and we're going to introduce you and your family to the church. And so I know all the aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, cousins, best friends, and dogs and cats and all that would like to come up here. We just don't have the room. And so today, just mom, dad, and child. Okay, everybody's cool with that?
Yes.
All right, well, let's jump in. Today, we're going to wrap up a series that we've been in called The Next Chapter. And so we want to wrap it up. And some of you are like, I wasn't here for part one and part two. It's okay. I'm going to fill you in a few moments, and you'll be able to track right along with us. But this morning, we're going to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 1 through 7. It says this. You can follow along on the screens, Joshua 4, 1 through 7. It says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones, and I want you to hear this part. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And then you could tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Incredible story. We're going to use that today to talk about not just our church vision and our church future, but today I want to talk about our legacy. And I think it applies directly to our child dedication today. So let's take a moment right here and pray before we jump in. Lord, we love you and thank you for this time that we have together worshiping you, celebrating your goodness in our lives, learning from your word, and also, Father, dedicating some children today to you. And Father, I just pray that your presence will be very well known in this house today, that everyone that comes to this place today will know that they have met with the Lord. And so, Father, I pray for your help in communicating this message today. Father, help me to say it with the tone of heaven. Let it be life-giving, Father. Let it be life-changing, Father. Let it encourage us. Let it change us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Real quick before I jump into the message, I decided to dress up a little bit today. I thought about wearing the tight jeans with the busted out legs, but I didn't think that was going to work too well. And so anyway, I dressed a little bit up today, and so I just thought y'all would be interested to hear that story. So let's recap a little bit so those who haven't heard one of the parts of this message will know where we're at. So what we've been talking about is the next chapter for our church. And when we say our church, we're not just talking about a name, Emerge Church. What we're talking about is our people. We are the church. And so that sometimes we forget that because we think church is a building that you go to, but church is people that the Lord has saved. Amen. And so anybody here, you are the church. Come on, why don't you just take that hand you got up and high five the person next to you and tell them, I am the church. Okay? So we are the church. And so what we've been talking about is, who do we want to be? What is the vision that God is giving us for our church? What kind of church do we feel like God is calling us to be? And so one of the things that we said about our church is that we want to be a church that is for you, for your family, and for your friends, not just for one kind of person, but for people, amen, because all people need Jesus, and so we want to be a church for you, your family, and your friends, and so we summed up our mission like this: we lead people to follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their life. That's what we are all about. That is the mission that we are on. We lead people to follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives, and this is what our hope for you is, for every person that comes to our church, every person that walks through the doors, everyone that that comes to our e-groups or whatever, our hope for you, number one, is that you will follow Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to take the time and we want to take advantage of the opportunity to present Jesus to you so that you can know him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Another thing we want to help people do is find community, because I don't believe that God ever meant for us to live this Christian life alone. Amen? We need each other. We need Jesus, and the church needs us, okay? And so we want to follow Jesus. We want to help you to find community, but we also want to help you to discover your purpose. God has plans for your life, and he has designed you specifically for some things. There are some problems even that he's created you, for you to solve, and so we want to help you to discover your purpose so ultimately you can do something for God, and that's a pretty fantastic thing whenever you're able to do something for God, and it has an impact on another person's life, and it causes them to follow Jesus and live out God's plan for their life. And so as we introduced our vision statement and we recapped on some of our hopes for you, last week we talked about our next chapter, and we really started drilling down to some specific things that we feel like the Lord is leading us into in the next chapter of our church. And a couple of things that we said, first of all, is that we are beginning to make arrangements to go to two services. And so hopefully by the fall, everything will be ready to go. You notice at Easter, we're going to have two services to make room for more people. But by the fall, we will be going full force with two services. And so we're going to need a lot more people to jump on board to help cover all the different areas. And that's opportunities that allows you to do something for God. Amen. Who knows? Maybe the Lord will use you in children's ministry and you will lead one of these little ones to the Lord and have a relationship with Jesus. How fantastic would that be? Amen. That kid would remember you for the rest of their lives. All right. And so that'll be some awesome opportunities coming up. But the next chapter for us as a church, the first thing as we move more into missions and into a global outreach, we're going to help build a care point in a church in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, in the Santa Rosa Village. We have partnered together with Children's Cup, and so that is going to be one of our missions projects. We'll have some opportunities to invest in May. We're going to have a team from Children's Cup that will be here that will allow us to sponsor the children in that village, and so we'll be able to sponsor them, and we'll be able to go visit them and see what they're living like and be able to help them to follow Jesus. Amen. Another thing we're going to be kicking off this year is going to be some classes. We felt like we needed some life classes to help teach some specific things. We'll have a discipleship class that's really going to get into the nuts and bolts of what Christianity is all about. We feel the need to cover some things for the family, because if we're going to be a church that's for the family, we got to do some things for the family. Amen. And so, and don't look at nobody right now and say, you need help. Don't do that. I know you were thinking it. I saw some of you. But I don't want you to do that because we're in church and stuff, okay? And so we're going to have a marriage class because we know that there are some marriages that can use some coaching and use some help. And so we'll have a marriage class. And then we'll also have a class about raising some children. Come on, somebody. Y'all felt the Holy Ghost when I said that. And so we'll have a class that will help you and empower you as a parent so that you can raise some godly children. We'll also have a finance class where we want to help people get on track with their finances and help them to be able to live a kingdom lifestyle. Amen? Not just living behind the ball and always trying to catch up, but have a kingdom kind of lifestyle so that generosity can flow in their lives. And then also, we're going to have a group that's going to really, and it's going to be a group and a class, but it's going to focus on helping people find freedom in their life. There's a lot of things from our past that just it just bogs us down and holds us back, and there's a lot of people trying to break free from that. And I really believe that this class is going to help so many people break some chains in their life so they can truly live free and have the joy of the Lord in their lives. Amen. And then another thing we're going to do this year and the years to come is begin to focus on the campuses, college campuses. We got to reach some college students here. There's too many of them here in Tallahassee. We've got to play a part in reaching them. And so that's some next chapter vision for where we're headed as a church. But today I really want to point out some things as we talk about legacy. What is going to be our church legacy? What is it that we're going to be known for? What is the thing that is going to be remembered whenever somebody says Emerge Church? And I believe these things that we're going to share today, even though they would apply to us as a church, I think for every parent here, you can directly put them in place to apply it to your children. And I've come to the point with my ministry like this: if I can't use it in my everyday life, what are we doing with it? Amen? Come on, I expected a better amen right there. Y'all left me hanging. We got guests here. Don't do that. Come on, people. I got a good friend sitting in here today. I mean, I want to make a good impression. Help me. This week, as you know, the Reverend Billy Graham passed away. almost 100 years old, and you talk about a man that's had a significant impact on America and had a significant impact on the church. And it's believed that millions of people have followed Jesus because of Billy Graham. Amen. That's pretty incredible. And he is revered as an honorable man. His character, his integrity, his faithfulness, and that call that he has, it inspires so many people. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to hear Billy Graham or see any of his crusades on TV, but he's just such a powerful man of God, and the Lord really opened doors for him to go into some pretty prominent places to speak into some situations with our leaders and even across the world. And so this man, Billy Graham, became a huge influence globally. And he said this, though, and I thought it applies to what we're talking about today. He said, "The greatest legacy that one can pass to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith." He's saying, basically what he's saying is the most important things that we can pass on, the things that we could be known for, isn't necessarily the material things. And hey, if you got the material things, pass them right on, amen? But he said the important stuff that we have to make sure that we pass on is a legacy of faith to our kids, amen? Pass that on to the next generation. And then when we hear that, it kind of puts us as a parent into some evaluation mode, am I right? Where we stop for a moment and say, whoa, wait a minute, let me make sure, because Billy Graham was no joke, and you listen when Billy talks, and so let me make sure that I'm doing something like that, and I'm going to pass on a legacy of faith to the next generation. And so as we begin to look at this today, what I want to do is I want to use that picture of Billy Graham as an influence to paint a picture of what a legacy needs to look like for us as a church. And I want us to consider our legacy. What is it that we will pass on to the next generation? As a family, what is it that you're going to pass on to the next generation? Because for us as a church, I don't want to just pass on the idea of having church every Sunday. That is the main thing, and that will continue. But there are some values, there are some big rocks, if you will, that I want to make sure that we're able to pass on to our kids, and something that has some eternal value to it. And so I believe these things are very, very specific. And so for all you parents who are dedicating a child today, let's consider the legacy that you're going to pass on to them, because your journey has begun with raising this child and influencing them. And as if there's not enough pressure in the world, it's really the consideration of what will I pass on to this child that the Lord has given us. And so as we read Joshua 4 this morning, I want you to consider the journey that the children of Israel were on. And so the Lord has delivered them from slavery in Egypt, and he put a man named Moses over them. And so Moses is leading them out of slavery in Egypt, and he's leading them to a promised land. And between the place of slavery and the promised land is a wilderness. And it's a testing time, if you will, and Moses gets to be the leader of it. Anybody ever been thrown into a leadership position that looked pretty tough before? And so you understand that there's a little bit to deal with, especially when you're dealing with a lot of opinions and a lot of people. And let me take it a step further. A lot of people and their kids. And let me take it a step further. A lot of people and their kids and their spouse and their kids. I'll take it even a step further. A lot of people, their spouse, their kids, and their animals. I'm serious. It's the total package. I mean, you know, and let me just throw this out to those of you who are single and one day want to get married. You know, when you marry that person, you don't just get them, but you get all of them. You're hearing me today. You get all of them. And she might look fine. And y'all have dinner, but all of them. I know y'all got great in-laws and stuff. All them. So the Lord uses Moses to lead all them. And he's taking them on en route to the promised land. Well, along the way, Moses gets old and he dies. And so the Lord has to raise up another leader, and Joshua was his assistant. And so they just passed the baton on to Joshua. And as Joshua becomes the leader of this great people that they're leading to the promised land, they come upon an obstacle. You ever come upon an obstacle in your life before that looked impossible? Well, just like Moses, when he led him out of Egypt, he came upon a Red Sea. Joshua comes upon a Jordan River. And he's got to lead all of these people across. And if you've ever taken a trip before and had people follow you, you feel the pain right there. And so Joshua has to lead them across. And of course, the Lord works a miracle and he parts the Jordan River so that they can cross over. And literally when they're crossing over, I need you to hear this, they're going into the promised land. This is a moment that they've been waiting for a very long time. And so they're going into the promised land. And as they're crossing the river, the Lord is getting Joshua's attention and saying, hey, don't you think this is a pretty important moment? I know you're caught up with the miracle right now, but don't you think this is a pretty important moment, what's going on? Because you're overcoming another obstacle that is literally taking you into the promised land. You're walking into it. And I think it would be important for there to be something to remember this moment of your lives. This is significant in your life. And so he gives them this instruction. I want you to take the stones that were at the bottom of this river. I want you to take 12 of them and carry them out the river and go on the other side. And as you get on the other side, I want you to build a memorial. I want you to build something that is going to remind these people that the Lord did something significant in our lives that day. And we never have forgotten it, and it's something that we can pass on from generation to generation. And if you will, it's like a legacy memorial, the legacy of God's goodness all the way from the time that they were in slavery to the point that now they're stepping into the promised land. Because I don't know if you know this, but we have short-term memory. As long as everything is good, we're not worried about everything, and we forget about some moments where the Lord had to do some work in our lives. And God was saying, listen, I don't want you to forget, because someday you're going to need this inspiration again. And I began to think about this because I believe that we're on a faith journey. All of us, we're in this walk with God. We're following Jesus. And as we're taking this journey together as a church, as we're walking this journey together as a family, if we're not careful, we will just plow through and get through everything because we're so anxious to get to this spot in life where everything is so wonderful and everything is so perfect that sometimes we can forget some of the things along the journey that God has done in our lives. Amen. We forget about the faithfulness of God because we're enjoying all the blessings that he gave us, okay? And so he's saying right here, listen, let's put a memorial. Let's have something that's going to serve as a legacy for you. And I begin to think about this. What would our legacy be as a church as we make it through these different seasons? What would our legacy be as a family as we endure through these different things? Are we just going to look back and say, "Woo, I'm glad I made it through that"? Or will we look back and say, God's been good? In every season of our lives, every challenge, God's been good. God has provided. God has made a way. God has made a way where there was no way. And I don't ever want to forget that. And better yet, we want the generation to pick that up. We want them to believe God in those situations just like we did. So I begin to think about our legacy. What would our legacy be? And so today, I thought we would talk about some stones. Some stones that would tell a story. Some stones that we can gather through these different seasons of our lives that we can put in place that will serve as a memorial that we can look up to and say, that's what we believe. That's who we believe. It literally becomes this anchor for us to always remember this is who God is and this is what we believe about him. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to share seven core beliefs, seven core values of our church, of our family, of our people, something that I believe is a legacy to the future. And I believe these stones serve as a reminder, something that holds us to who God is and what he's done. And these seven core values, like I said, I believe they apply to the church, but I believe they apply to you. I believe they apply to your family. I believe this is something that I can say in front of my family and it makes complete sense to them, just as well as we can say it in front of the church and it makes complete sense to the church. Amen. There's no disconnect. It all flows together. There's harmony there. And so the first core value, the first belief I believe that we should have is this, is that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When you look back through your life and you see everything points us to Jesus, every struggle points us to the need for Jesus, every sin points us to the need for Jesus, every victory points us to our need for Jesus. Everything that we endure in this life, it points us to, I need Jesus. And so therefore, we can say that it's a value to us. Jesus is important, so we place value and we believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. He is our Savior, and we believe he is the beginning. Everything starts with him, and he is the end. Everything ends with him. He is the one we worship. He is the one we serve. He is our answer for salvation, for healing, and redemption. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and his presence is everything in our lives. And I want you to think about that for a second, because as a church, it's definitely something that you would agree with. Even as I said it, I saw people shaking their heads in agreement. But would we be willing to say this for our children as well? It's all about Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we want to see our children grow up to be godly men and women. Can I get a good amen in here? And so if it's not all about Jesus, they could miss the mark. And as parents, as a church, as a community, let's make sure that we make it all about Jesus. So I want you to picture literally taking this from those seasons of our lives of struggling. This is some things that we learned, and we're bringing it to that dry land that we're now on, and we're setting it up, and we're saying, you know what? This is something I want to remember from that season of my life, something the Lord showed me, something the Lord taught me. It's all about Him, and I want to pass this on to the next generation. I want my kids to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want your kids to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want families to know Jesus. We want friends to know Jesus, amen? Because it's all about Jesus. Can I get a good amen on that? Thank you. It's all about Jesus. Here's another value that I believe is important. Another one is this, is that anything is possible. Anything is possible. Now, some people say, Pastor Wade, be careful how you say that. You'll get people's hopes up too high. Think of that. Anything is possible for those who believe, but believe what? Believe in Jesus. See, it's not just that I have this fairy tale belief that I think everything is going to be okay. It's because I know Jesus and I trust in Him. And by having faith in Him, I know that what looks impossible is possible. And so as a church and as families, we should value faith. We should value our faith. That should be something that is huge in our life. Not something that's on the side and we'll pay attention to it later, but something that is in the forefront of our lives. Faith is important to me. And most importantly, let me say like this. Faith in Jesus Christ is important to me. And therefore, I believe that God can do the impossible. And so when we as a family, we endure things, we always remember, wait a minute, with God, anything is possible. When my kids face something, it's pointing them in that direction. It's pulling out that stone and saying, hold on, we believe that anything is possible. As a church, we believe anything is possible. And so when that person has that diagnosis and the doctors doesn't give them much hope, we're able to say, hold on, we saw the Lord work in our wilderness. We saw Him work in those seasons of our lives, and we know because He did it then, He can do it now. And we believe that all things are possible, and we believe God can heal it. We believe God can save it. We believe God can redeem it. Amen. It's one of our big rocks, and we're not going to stray away. And listen, the winds and the storms may come in our life, but that rock, it serves as a foundation, and it is not going to move. So we have a value. We have a belief. It's a core. We believe that anything is possible. And we also know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we believe, we trust in Jesus. We believe God can do it. And though we face the challenges, we know God is faithful. And watch this. We know God is able. He's faithful. We've seen Him do it before. And the things that we're facing now and even in the future, we know that He is able and He will do it again. Heard too many stories of people that were thrown all the impossibilities, and then they believed God, and they have these great stories to tell of God's redemption, of God's healing, come on, of God's salvation, and of His deliverance. And so as a church, if we're really going to be the light of the world, I believe that we should portray a faith that believes that anything is possible. Amen. How cool would that be to pass on to the next generation? And even though the world, because, you know, every generation we keep saying it more and more, boy, this world is going crazy. How many of you heard your parents say that? And now you're saying it. And you always said, I ain't going to say what they said. And there you are. You're saying it. You look at the news and you say, this world is crazy. But what is our hope in the middle of it? Jesus is our hope in the middle of it. So watch this. Our values, it's all about Jesus. And we believe anything is possible. Here's the next thing. It's a value, and I believe this one is important. It's that life is better together. Life is better together. We're better together than we are alone. And I will say that in the context of church, and I'll also say that in the context of family. We're better together. And I know there's a lot of things that come at us that tries to pull us apart. But at the end of the day, we're able to do more. We're able to accomplish more. We're able to celebrate more when we are together. And I believe this needs to be a value for us. I mean, come on, some of you, you've been fighting to keep your family together. And I want you to know, keep going. Don't give up on it. Amen. It's worth the fight. Amen. It's worth the fight. And we want to stand with you and believe with you because we know that life is better together. We were created to connect. We were created for relationship. We were created for family. We were created for community. We value, watch this, we value family. It's important to us. We value community. It's important to us. We value the church. We value the assembly of the believers together. We value that in our lives. Why do we value it? Because we know it's better to do this together. And we also look at the picture of Jesus when he came to this earth, even though he's God in the flesh and he is the Savior, the Almighty God has come down to earth. He didn't do this by himself. Come on, he did it together. He had a community of people that he did this together with. And again, as I'm sharing this morning, I'm thinking about it in two ways. I'm thinking about it as a church, but I'm also thinking about it as a family. We're better together as a family than we are by ourselves. And we need the support of each other. We need the faith. We need the help that each other brings to the table. And there's a synergy when we come together as a family. And there is a synergy that comes together as a church. And when we put it all together, I want you to imagine the things that we can accomplish when we are together. And know this, it doesn't just add up, but it literally multiplies the strength. It multiplies when families come together, when the church comes together. The strength is multiplied and we're stronger and we're better together. Amen. These are values that I believe that are important to us as a church, but they're also important to us as a family. Another value that I think is important is this, is that everyone has a part. And right here, I can envision that mom as trying to get that teenage son to clean her room and help pick up the house. I just can sense the amen that is on the tip of her lips right now. And she's about to burst forth in excitement, and the joy of the Lord comes upon her because everyone has a part, and she's already predicting her angle that she's going to preach that to her family at lunch today. And I just say, you go, girl. You go. You go, girl. Everyone has a part because we're not spectators, we're participators. We're involved in what God is doing. And for a family, we're involved in what the family is doing. We do this life, and so we're involved in it, and I believe that everyone has a part. And so God has this plan for our lives, and just because he has a plan doesn't mean it automatically happens. So God has a plan, but we have a part. That means we don't just wish it, we work it. You got that? We don't just wish it, we work it. That's good. That's tweetable right there. We value God's purpose for us. We value it, but we actively pursue fulfilling it. There's a pursuit to it. There's this understanding that as I grow, as I walk this thing out, and as I begin to serve God's purposes and do my part, I begin to see God's plan come alive. I begin to see it come to pass in my life because I understand that I have a part. And every one of us here as the church, the body of Christ, we all have a part. Everyone has a part in this thing. No one is left out, but we all have a place to serve. We all have value to bring. We all have prayers to pray. We all have words to share. Amen. We all have a part in this thing. And he has given us these abilities. He's given us talents and spiritual gifts that help build up the body of Christ for the purpose of leading others so that they will follow Jesus and live out God's plans for their life. Are you grabbing this today? There's purpose in it, but we've got to work it out. And we have to understand everybody has a part. And so we can't say, well, I don't do that. Come on, somebody. Come on. Y'all come back to me. Some of y'all are like, I'm checking out. No, come back to me. Don't start going 17 years old and having flashbacks, all right? Come on back. Everybody has a part in this thing. And as we serve, what do we begin to see? We begin to see fruit. We begin to see things accomplished. We begin to see the impact on other people's lives. And even as we mentioned that Easter service, two services. And so it's going to take more people. And so if you just look at it from a convenience standpoint, you're going to say, I can't do that. But when you look at it from a kingdom standpoint, you say, if I do that, that's going to enable another family to experience all these things that we're talking about today. And so watch this. Come on. Yeah, you can clap right there. So as moms and dads, what we do is we gather the family and say, you know what, this Easter, what we're going to do? Yes, we're going to go to church all together as a family to celebrate Jesus as our Savior. But we're also going to serve at the church this year so that another family can experience Jesus as their Savior. Amen. We're going to bring some purpose into it. So it's not just Easter eggs this year. Oh, I went there. Come on, somebody. So you can attend one service and you can serve one, and we will cover it all. Check that out. You don't even have to miss it. You can still be here because everyone has a part, and I believe you can get your family involved in serving. Amen? You can get your family involved and give them a picture of what it looks like to truly serve the Lord and help them to see it. And these are things that they will remember as they grow up. They will remember and they'll say, I remember my mom and dad faithfully served in the church. And just like they served, I believe it's important for us to serve in the church. Just like they gave financially, they gave the tithe and the offering. We believe that it's important to give the tithe and the offering. You do know that people don't just do what you say, but they do what you do. So let's give them an example. Let's give them a legacy that they can truly follow. Amen. Is this okay today? Everybody's tracking along with this. Here's another one that I believe is important for us as a church. I believe that we should grow as we go. Grow as we go. And this takes the pressure off of you having to have it all figured out right now before you can do anything. Come on, can somebody say thank God? Because some of us, some of you, you had those babies. And let's just be honest, you didn't know what you were doing. You had no clue what you were doing. But what happened? As you had to do it, you learned and you grew. And as you grew, you got to the point, you said it. You didn't say it out loud because you didn't want anybody to think anything, but you said it. I'm getting pretty good at this. Getting pretty good at this. Why? Because we're growing as we go. There are some faith steps, and I believe God gives us some steps to take that grows us into who He wants us to be. And so as a church, we want to make sure that we're constantly putting steps in front of people to help grow them into who God wants them to be. Instead of just sitting there waiting for something to fall into our laps, God is saying, I'm laying out some steps for you. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and we take those faith steps, and as we take them, not only are we growing in our knowledge, but we're growing in our faith. Amen? And as we're growing in faith, our confidence begins to rise. And so we value growth. We believe growth is important individually. It is important for you to continue to grow as a person, as a man, as a woman. It's important for you to continue to grow, gaining wisdom to do what you do well. Amen? And it's important for us as disciples of Jesus Christ to continue to learn and to grow so that when we're 15 years down the line, we're still not fighting that same stuff we were fighting 15 years ago, but we grew out of it. Come on, somebody. You see what I'm saying? We're not just sleeping with the light on anymore because we grew out of that stage because we learned that God is with us. And so in those dark seasons of our lives, we're not afraid. That's what I'm talking about. Some maturity. So we're growing as we're going. But the important thing is this, is I'm taking faith steps that lead me into God's purpose and His plan for my life. And so as disciples, I'm continually learning. I'm continually growing to become more and more like Jesus. Now, how many of you think you could pass that on to your kids? Think of that. That's what we want to see happen in our church. But this is what we want to see happen in our families. And I believe that they relate so well together. Here's another one. What if we just said, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I believe that's a huge value for a family, for a church, for a person. I say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Come on, how many of you got a little bit of fight in you? You know what I'm saying? Something comes against you and you're ready. Let's go. Let's do this. Any competitors in the house? You ever been down a little bit and somebody was, let's just call it what it is, they were beating you. And you had that moment of, not today. And you reached a point you said, whatever I got to do, I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm talking about, having a whatever it takes kind of attitude where we're willing to work. We're willing to serve, we're willing to give, and let me throw a huge word out there, sacrifice. We're willing to sacrifice in order to do what God has called us to do, in order to be who God wants us to be. I believe sacrifice is so huge for us to learn, and it's so big for us to pass on to the next generation to help them to learn that even though I could, I choose not to because this is more important. I'm willing to sacrifice something I want because of something I need. Come on, that's huge. That's good teaching right there. Sacrifice. We value sacrifice because we know that anything worth something costs something. Family is worth something and it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you money, and that's a good amen spot right there. It costs, but you know what? It's worth it. It's worth every penny. It's worth every hour of staying up late. It's worth every minute of dealing with that tough situation. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. And you won't regret the sacrifice that you made. You won't regret it. And I believe it's the same for the kingdom. It's worth it. It's worth the time. Come on, all you guys who are waking up early to serve in the church, it's worth your time. The inconveniences, it's worth it, because at the end of the day, people are coming to the Lord. And when you stand before God and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you'll say, "Thank God, I was willing to do whatever it takes." And I believe there's a tenacity that comes with that, that we should pass on. And I believe Jesus had that. I believe Jesus had a whatever it takes. When he was in the garden and he was tempted to try to change the plan instead of following through with the cross, and he said, "Lord, if there's any other way, come on, let's come on with the plan right now, because I'm about to die." He stuck with it because he said, "Whatever it takes to save him, her, them, I'm willing to do it. Put me on the cross, because that's what it requires, sacrifice." And because of his sacrifice, we follow that example so that we can see other people say yes to Jesus. And here's the last one. I believe this one is so huge, is this whole idea that the best is yet to come. It's this hope that we have in Christ, that even though right now it may look this way, we still believe the best. Let me take it a step further. Even though those people look crazy, we still believe the best about them. Come on, somebody. Some of you, that's a challenge. You got to go back to number one to get that help. Amen. It's all about Jesus. I need help on that one. The best is yet to come. We have an expectation that the work that God has begun in us, watch this, he is faithful to complete it. And even though right now he's working some things out, and I don't know if you've ever had a building project around your home before, but it's a mess while the work is being done. But hang tight, because as the work is getting accomplished, you step back and look at that kitchen, you say, "Boy, the mess was worth it. The best is here. Let's make some pizza." Come on, somebody. So watch this. We value hope, believing the best in all situations, and believing the best for all people, believing that God can save them, God can forgive them, God can turn it around, God can, he can heal them. Amen. Because we have this hope that the best is yet to come. And let me say this, that hope isn't built on a feeling, but it's built on a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. You grabbing that today? So we're not just talking about good feelings here. We're talking about a foundation of faith. Now I want you to consider, and leave those up on the screen for a moment. I want you to look at those that are on the screen and consider, wouldn't this be an incredible legacy for somebody to look at your life and say, "Yeah, that guy Will, one thing I can say about him, it was all about Jesus." Yep. That guy, Brandon, whatever it took, that's one thing I could see. That lady, Keita, anything is possible. She always had a faith. Come on, are you grabbing this today? That lady, Beth, who would always say, "Whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it." Imagine if that's what's said about you individually, about your life. Imagine if it's your kid that says it. It's one thing when people think that cool of you, but it's another thing when your kids think that about you. It's one thing when the people on the outside think it, but it's another thing when people on the inside are saying it. And as I look at this story this morning from the book of Joshua, and they carried those stones, think of the work to pick up a stone and set it on dry land. I'm sure there were people saying, "You know, we could just write it on paper. It's a lot easier just to write it on paper than to pick up a huge rock." But they said, "We want it to last. We want it to be there forever. We want these values. We want this memory to serve a lifetime. It's eternal value to it." And I want to encourage you today that as we're building our lives, as we're building our families, as we're building our church, let's build it on something with some eternal value. Amen? And not just some temporary pleasure. Hey, enjoy the things that life gives us. Enjoy the blessings that God gives us. Amen? I believe we should. But let's build our lives on the things that have eternal value. And let's take the things that God has given us and use them for his purposes, because every time we use them for his purposes, we see how he turns around and continues to bless us even more and more. Consider your legacy today. Consider what we're building as a church. Consider what we're building in our families. And let's let these seven core values, these seven core beliefs that we're stating as our church, be the values of our lives. So that as our families grow, as they go, they look back and they say, this is who we are. This is what we're all about. We have a faith in Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. We trust that God can do the impossible. We value our families, our community, and our church. Every one of us, we have a purpose and a part, and God's going to use that purpose to affect other lives. And I'm not stopping where I'm at. I'm going to keep going and keep growing because I know God's not finished with me yet. Can I give that word to somebody here today? God's not finished with you yet. You may have made some mistakes. God's not finished with you yet. That's a good word for somebody today. And he's done whatever it takes to reach you because he wants to save you. He wants to change you, and he wants to set you up to accomplish his plans for your life. And I want to ask this morning, everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. Because the whole point of what we do as a church is to lead people to following Jesus. And maybe today, even as you walk through the doors, you felt a little pressure to put on your best religious attitude. You may have even changed your language a little bit, just so that you wouldn't come across as that kind of person. But as you look at your life and you hear a message like this, there's something in you that wants to be better and wants to do better. But then as you evaluate, you look at the energy that you've already spent trying to change, trying to self-improve, and you say, nothing has really changed. I just cycle over and over. Today, I want to give you some good news. That this man, Jesus, that we're talking about today, he can change your life. He can save you. He can forgive you. And he can set you up to grow into an incredible person that he planned for you to be. And it starts by first admitting that you need him and putting your faith and trust in him as your Savior and allowing him to forgive you of all of your sins. And that can be a fresh start for you today to continue this journey that God has mapped out for you. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm away from God. And maybe you've tried to be religious, but you realize the religion thing, it's not consistent for you. Maybe you've tried to do some things in your life that's just not working out. But today, you understand the influence of a relationship. And a relationship with Jesus can influence your life in ways that other rituals can never, ever change you. And today, we want to introduce you to this man, Jesus. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, this morning, we want to pray a prayer with you to begin a brand new relationship with him. And if that's you, you say, Pastor, I need this relationship with Jesus that you're talking about. Why don't you real quick just slip up a hand and put it right back down. I'll see you. And you can, yes, anyone else would say, Pastor, that's me. I need this Jesus that you're talking about. Anyone else? You say, I'm away from God. Okay. Amen. Amen. So as a church, every Sunday, what we do at this point of the service, we pray together with those that admit it, I need Jesus as my Savior. And we do it out loud. We pray this out loud as a big family. And so I want to invite all of you, even if you're guests, family, and friends, I want to invite all of you to join us in this big family prayer that we pray every Sunday. So why don't you pray this prayer with me? Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that you love me and that you have a great plan for my life. And so you sent Jesus to die on a cross, to forgive all of my sins, to forgive my past, so that I can live the rest of my life for you. So today I accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. And I put my faith and trust in him. And I choose now to surrender all of me to you, Lord. And I choose to follow your ways over my own. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a fresh start. I want to live the life you have intended for me. In Jesus' name, amen.